In a world of Democrats,
there will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
And Republicans,
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
You need a voice of liberty. Look no further. You found it. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody. It's Friday, October 17th, 2014. And I'm very glad to welcome back to the program Mark Sisson. Mark Sisson is a fitness author and blogger and a former distance runner, triathlete, and Ironman competitor. As a matter of fact, he finished fourth in the February 1982 Ironman World Championship. He had a top five finish in the 1980 U.S. National Marathon Championships and earned a qualifying spot for the 1980 U.S. Olympic Trials. Mark is the author of The Primal Blueprint, as well as The Primal Connection, an important follow-up book, and many other books, including cookbooks and other works to help you maximize your health. He blogs at marksdailyapple.com, which is a huge site in terms of traffic and in terms of the amount of information you'll find there. We'll ask him more about that in a few minutes. Right now, I'm very glad to turn to Mark Sisson. Mark, welcome back to the show.
So great to be back, Tom.
Mark, before we get started, even though you were on this program a year ago, believe it or not, there's a possibility some people didn't hear that episode. So I do want to give you time for your usual overview of what the Primal Blueprint is. Then I want to do two things. I want to ask you some listener-supplied questions, and then I want to talk about your entrepreneurial journey, how you got to be this mega industry, basically, because it wasn't always so. And it's an interesting story how you got to where you are today. But take it away, telling us about the Primal Blueprint.
Right. So the Primal Blueprint is a way of living that I arrived at through trial and error over my own life, because I had been an athlete and attempting to do all the right things, eat right, exercise right, live my life appropriately so that I would be as strong and lean and fit and happy and healthy as I possibly could. And I went down that path for a long time, but found that the results I was getting were so antithetical to health. I was overtraining. I was eating the wrong foods, even though conventional wisdom would have dictated that that's exactly what I should be doing. I was a guy who wanted to do the right thing. I just couldn't figure out what it was. So I took a step back after I retired from competition as an endurance athlete and re-examined everything that I thought to be true about diet and exercise and health and fitness. And lo and behold, the research, which was coming in at an astronomical pace in the last two decades, looking at evolutionary biology and modern genetic science, was confirming that a lot of what we suspected was right about how to eat and how to exercise was, in fact, absolutely wrong, and that there were easier ways to achieve health and fitness. So I crafted this strategy that I call the Primal Blueprint. At its essence, the Primal Blueprint is about extracting the most possible from life. How can I have the most fun, the most enjoyment, the most pleasure, the most contentment and satisfaction? And some of the benefits, those are the benefits. Some of the features, if you will, would be things like weight loss, more energy, getting off the meds, having some of your illnesses and ailments disappear. So we've created this amazing, I call it a technology, where understanding how it is that you make food choices and what sorts of exercise you choose to do can dictate how your genes rebuild, renew, regenerate, recreate you on a daily basis to manifest that strong, lean, fit, happy, healthy, productive, loving person that you want to be. How's that, Tom?
Well, that is great. You know what I love about you, Mark, is that I've now asked you this question four times, twice on my show and twice filling in on the Peter Schiff show, and you've given me a different answer each time. Now, my approach would be I'd have the same boilerplate answer every time, but you've got a fresh approach every time you're asked this question. Now, let me tell you, I went on this for a while and I fell off the wagon. I'm going to make my confession, public confession with you here on the line with me, and I know you're still my friend and I appreciate that. I want to get back on the wagon. I always forget if it's on or off. I want to get back on the program. We fell off it a little bit because my wife got pregnant. Her pregnancies are extremely difficult. And we found that, especially with four other children, it seemed too labor intensive for us, and I started to adopt some of my old bad habits again. Now, I want to get to that in a second, but I want to point out to people that when I did follow this and I did take off some weight, and yes, it is about more than weight loss, but weight loss is probably the thing that people gets their attention first. I made a video called how I lost the weight or how I took off the weight, just for YouTube, because people were saying, Woods, you're wasting away. Like, what's happening to you? Like, how did you lose this weight? I made this video, and the next morning, it already had 25,000 views. The next morning, people wanted to know how I had done it. So here are the couple questions I want to ask you. Even though these are very common questions, I usually like to surprise my guests with unusual questions. Like when I had Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull on, I did not ask why does he play the flute. You know, but some questions just have to be asked. The first one would be, how can you make the Primal Blueprint less labor intensive? How can you make it easy? I've seen your video on your 2 or 5 minute salad, but I don't like salads that much. Like, what can I do to eat this way, to get the grains out, to get the sugars out, to get some of this other stuff out that's easy and doesn't mean I have to be in the kitchen all day?
Well, first off, congratulations on the growing family.
Thank you.
Second of all, it's not unusual that men experience weight gain, sympathetic weight gain, with their wives when the wives are pregnant. That's a very common phenomenon. Third, there's no right or wrong way to live your life, Tom. There's just choices. And when you choose to do the Primal Blueprint, you choose to do the Primal Blueprint. When you choose to go off the wagon, as you said it, you do so, at least in your case, willingly, knowingly. You understand the ramifications. You're okay with that. And to the extent that one time when the stress backs off a little bit and it's become easier for you to get back on, you will do that. I'm confident of that. Either way, we're still going to be buds, so don't worry about that. But the essence of the Primal Blueprint is to make it as easy as possible. I mean, there are a lot of very draconian ways to lose weight and to try to achieve levels of fitness through tons of exercise. I used to do that. The Primal Blueprint really is based around simple choices: meat, fish, fowl, eggs, nuts, seeds, vegetables, a little bit of fruit, and retraining your body to become very good at getting most of your energy from your stored body fat instead of expecting another meal. So there are some simple solutions. I mean, like, people say, well, how do you make breakfast? I don't like breakfast. Well, Tom, I don't eat breakfast. I've become so good at burning my stored body fat, I wake up in the morning, I don't even eat breakfast. So there's one meal that I don't have to fix. I'm not suggesting that you need to do that, but that's one of the benefits downstream of having your body reconfigure itself so that you can get most of your energy from your stored body fat. Eggs are very much approved on the Primal Blueprint eating style, and so there are different ways to eat eggs for breakfast if that's something you want to do. They're typically pretty quick. You don't like salad, that's fine. Find ways to keep some cold snacks on hand, beef jerky, a handful of macadamia nuts, some things like that. Now, I didn't want to plug a product on your show, but
no,
I make,
plug. It's no problem at all.
I make a product called Primal Fuel. And have you tried it?
I have tried it, but it was so long ago, and then we moved, and I don't know where it went, and
I'll send you some more. But Primal Fuel was designed to address this specific issue that you have, which is you don't have a lot of time to make a meal. You want something that's going to be good for you and healthy, but doesn't take a lot of time, doesn't cost a lot of money. You don't have to order out. Primal Fuel was designed to fill in those gaps, whether it's you want a breakfast, but you don't have the time to make it, so you're going to run out of the house. Mix up a glass of this amazing, great-tasting, powdered meal replacement that gets the protein from the gold standard in protein, which is whey protein isolate, and gets the healthy fats from coconut fat, now recognized as the healthiest of all fats, and is low carb. So there are tools that we can use to fill in the gaps, and that's the beauty of this strategy, is that we don't have to, if you go paleo or primal, you don't have to be in your kitchen slaving away over a hot stove fixing all natural meals all the time. I'd like that you do that once in a while, but there are things that you can do to fill in the gaps. The Primal Fuel, you know, gives you 195 calories. That's an entire meal. It'll take the edge off hunger for the next 5 hours. So that's something you could do. You know, there's so many ways to, you can order. You and I could go look at any menu in town, Tom, and I could show you how to order off that menu something that was going to fit the Primal Blueprint eating style, that was low carb, that had some healthy fats on it, that had some great source of protein. And the way the internet is working these days, you could have that delivered to your house.
Well, that's another thing I wanted to ask you. Well, do you have any tips for dining out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there again, on a bet, we'll go to a restaurant, and I can, if it's not on the menu, I can convince the waiter to go back and tell the chef to do something a certain way. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of, as you know, canola oil and soybean oil and all these other industrial seed oils. So if I'm going to order an omelet at a restaurant, I'll say to the chef, you know, I'd like it cooked in real butter. And if you have to charge extra for that, go ahead and do that. But that's how I want it if I'm going to have an omelet. You know, if there's an entree that's got some potatoes on it or some potato chips or fries, you just say without the fries, extra vegetables. There are lots of ways to look at a menu and to order in a way that isn't going to offend the chef, but is still going to get you what you want.
Now, related to that is a question you must get a lot, which is, how can I do this inexpensively? Like, we all hear over and over that you can get really lousy food very inexpensively, whereas you can get much better food, but it's going to come at a cost, especially now we're seeing prices going up for meat and other inputs. What's your approach? How do you handle that when people raise that concern?
Yeah, so if you've learned how to eat according to the Primal Blueprint, which is to recognize that there are certain types of grain products that you want to essentially eliminate from your life, so wheat and rye and millet and barley and so on and so forth, because they are pretty much antithetical to good health. And you're going to replace those with vegetables, again, meat and fish and chicken and lots of green type vegetables. Maybe the occasional root tuber like sweet potatoes or yams or something like that. There's a long list of things that you can eat on this eating strategy. I hate to call it a diet. I guess I will for this purposes of this discussion. But there's a spectrum of foods that exist from best choices to worst choices. So in the best choices, I'd say grass-fed beef, if you can find it and afford it, is the ideal choice for beef. But if you can't afford it or you can't find it, then most stores now offer some vendor that has hormone and antibiotic-free beef. And so even if it was grain-fed or grain-finished, that's still a much better choice than a bowl of spaghetti. So there are, you know, all of these choices exist on a spectrum. And we're just talking about choices. They're not right or wrong answers, and they're not black and white, even black and white choices. They're just understanding the nuances of the foods that you eat. So if you can't get organic vegetables, you're still better off eating regular vegetables as opposed to eating breads and cereals and cookies and crackers and all the other stuff. And understanding that, you can walk into any grocery store on a budget and put together a very healthy eating strategy or diet for your family that isn't going to upset the budget. And to the extent, and if you sometimes drill down really deeply into what an average family spends in terms of food, you find that there's a lot of stuff that, you know, they're spending $5 for a box of cereal that they shouldn't be eating in the first place. Well, that $5 could buy a lot of produce, or could buy, you know, 2 dozen eggs for breakfast instead of the cereal. So there are, depending on what other sort of bad things were filling up your grocery bill and budget, if you eliminate those and then apply that savings to healthier sources of food, the end result is, and this is sort of a long-term health benefits and investment strategy. I say to people, look, in Europe, they allocate 27% of their annual income to food. That's how much Europeans think food is an important part of their lives. So with that in mind, if you were to start eating better and start eliminating the excess body fat that people have and the inflammation and getting rid of some of these autoimmune diseases that are caused by some of the food choices that we eat, the end result is you might be saving $200,000 in medical bills over the next two or three decades. So there's that investment opportunity that we're looking at as well.
Now, Mark, I know you have a lot of premiums that people get, free ebooks and things when they join up at marksdailyapple.com. We'll talk about your site a little later, but I bet you another ebook, I'm sorry to give you more work, but if you don't already have one, maybe Primal on a Budget could be a short 15-page little ebook that get people to sign up for your newsletter. But you're the entrepreneur when it comes to this stuff, but it seems catchy to me.
I like it. I'm writing it down. So
okay,
it's not that I'm not paying attention. It's that I'm writing it down as we speak, Tom.
Nice, nice. All right, good, good, good. I've got some pretty decent entrepreneurial instincts of my own. All right. Now, another question I want to ask. I told people at the top of the show all about your credentials as an athlete. I mean, the things you've accomplished are just boggle my mind. Like, it's like you and I live in different universes. But then later on, you came to the conclusion that the kind of training you were doing and what you were doing to your body, even though everybody was impressed by it and thought it was awesome, was really not what you would want to recommend to people. And today, when you look at the Primal Blueprint, you look at the exercise dimension, you are not telling people they should become endurance runners or any of these other things. Why not, and what should they do instead?
Well, why not is because it's devastating to the body to do that amount of pounding, and whether that's actually on the roads as a runner or on the bike as a cyclist or in the pool as a swimmer or in the gym on a treadmill or an elliptical machine, it's harmful in the long term to the joints to be going through this sort of single range of motion, this single plane of action. It's also not as beneficial to cardiac health as we once thought. I come from a generation of people who did excessive mileage in training with the inappropriate understanding that the more miles you put in, the healthier your heart would become. But now we're encountering the first stage of what I consider to be an epidemic in heart issues among my generation of endurance athletes, because they train too hard, they asked too much of the heart, of the cardiac muscle, it overworked, and then encountered either mechanical problems in the muscle walls or in the innervation of how often the heart beats. So we see atrial fib, AFib they call it now, being an epidemic among former endurance athletes. So backing up a step, you go, well, why would I choose to do all of this inhuman activity? And if health isn't the reason any longer, then what is? And for some people, it's certainly the competitive spirit, and they want to compete and they want to race. I'm finishing up a book right now, recognizing that there are people who want to still compete in events, but want to do it in a way that does not harm their body as much as the old style. And I've discovered the path to do that. I've discovered a way to become as fit and strong and fast as you can possibly be with the least amount of training. So there are ways to do it. But from my perspective, as I sit here now as a 62-year-old ex-athlete, my main goal is I like to play. I want to find ways to maintain my mobility and my strength so that I can spend a week on the slopes snowboarding, or so that I can go out paddleboarding for 2 hours at a time in the middle of the day here in Malibu, and not treat it as a workout, but treat it as a fun, exciting part of the day where I'm out playing with the dolphins. Or I can play my weekly ultimate frisbee game, 2 hours of intense sprinting and direction changing and jumping and leaping, and be able to keep up with the 20-somethings who do that. So my latest challenge is, how do I craft a workout strategy that spends the least amount of time in the gym but allows me to be mobile and strong and fit enough to play hard when I want to play so that I can enjoy it? Because back to our original premise here, the Primal Blueprint is about enjoying life. Now, with that all of that in mind, if you get the diet right, if you train your body how to derive most of your energy throughout the day, whether you're sitting still or whether you're working out, if you can derive most of your energy from your stored body fat or from the fat in your meals, but ideally to take your body fat and use it as fuel, you arrive at an ideal body composition. If you're trending toward an ideal body composition, Tom, you don't even have to work out that much. You don't have to burn that many calories in your workout. From that point, all it is how do I maintain this signal to my muscles to stay strong and lean and powerful, and that doesn't take much work. The exercise pyramid that we created has at its base just find ways to move around a lot during the day. Walk to and from work or park far away from work or take the stairs. Find an opportunity to walk with your coworkers at lunch. Get a stand-up desk if that's going to benefit you and if your boss will let you do that. Find ways to move around during the day and don't even worry about the calories. And then twice a week, get into the gym, not for an hour and a half, but for like 20 to 30 minutes and do some intense full-body routines. I happen to go to the gym and I do push-ups, pull-ups, dips, lunges, squats. These are all sort of body weight type exercises that put me through a wide range of motion. That's just twice a week. And then sort of the apex of this pyramid is once a week, find a way to sprint. Now, I don't mean just going to the track and putting on the racing shoes and sprinting on the track. Yes, you can do that. But you can also sprint on a bike at the gym, or you could sprint on the treadmill, or you can sprint on the elliptical machine. This is what I'm talking about when I say sprinting, is find a way to go all out, high intensity, for anywhere from 20 seconds to 40 seconds, five times during a particular workout. So you'd warm up for 10 minutes, then you'd sprint for, say, 40 seconds, then you'd rest for 2 minutes, then you'd sprint for 40 seconds, and that's just once a week. So really, there are only three key workouts in my strategy in an entire week. Two weightlifting workouts or resistance training workouts that are 30 minutes, thereabouts, and one sprint routine, which is 30 minutes start to finish. So if you distill it down to those essential components, it's only an hour. It's 90 minutes total of work during the week.
I guess it's obvious what your answer would be, but I did ask Rob Wolf this, again, about a year ago, what his view was on CrossFit. Because in CrossFit, they're trying to make it not just a whole bunch of extremely repetitive things that go on for 2 hours, but they try to make it at least somewhat approximate maybe things you might really do in real life, but it's extremely intense.
Yeah, I mean, CrossFit is a fine choice for some people. It tends to be a bit more aggressive than even I would like to see the average person take on. So if you're an ex-athlete looking for something to do because you played college sports or you're in the services or something and you get out and you don't know what you're going to do to maintain your high-level fitness, CrossFit's an awesome thing. There are some relatively fit housewives who become exceptionally fit doing CrossFit. It's a great choice for some people. The downside, if there is one, is that a lot of times people get caught up in CrossFit, and because of the nature of these different types of Olympic movements and the, shall we say, lack of attention paid to form by some instructors, there's a slightly higher rate of injury. There's the possibility that if you're doing a 3 days on, 1 day off routine, it might be more than some people can handle. But I'm a fan of the concept of CrossFit. I just think that individuals are individual, they're different, and everybody needs to look at their workout strategy in the context of their body composition, where they are in life, what their work strategy is in terms of how they can get to and from a gym. There are a lot of variables that go into crafting the appropriate workout strategy for you. CrossFit is certainly a legitimate choice among a lot of other possible choices.
Mark, one last food question. I had this submitted by several listeners. They want to know your views on GMO foods, because some of them are very concerned about it, and others say they might have been concerned about it at some point, but that the science seems to be saying that there isn't really anything to worry about. People are exaggerating the dangers of them, that maybe there may not be any dangers. I myself don't know enough to be able to sort all this out.
Yeah, well, that therein lies the rub. No one knows enough to sort this out. So I'm a GMO agnostic in some cases. I try to live my life and certainly write the blog according to the science. And there's no good science heretofore that suggests that GMOs are dangerous. On the other hand, there is that little part of my brain that's suspicious and says, wait a minute, when you put a bacterial DNA or a fish DNA into a vegetable, or a fish gene, I should say, you are, you know, there's some amount of change going on there, the end result of which we don't have enough data to make an informed decision. So with GMO, non-GMO, the science does not yet indict the concept, but the logical part of the brain, and particularly within the context of primal paleo, which says, look, if it wasn't available to the caveman, we probably shouldn't eat it, you know, would tend to point you away from GMO. Having said that, everything that we eat today has been genetically modified through selective breeding, through farming. So nothing that we eat today resembles anything that we ate 15,000 years ago. It's just the concept of inserting, an animal gene into a vegetable so that it can resist a pesticide that is just it's a little squirrely. But on the surface, there is no good research.
All right, I want to switch gears here in the minutes we have left. I want to ask you questions about your entrepreneurial journey. I want people to understand where you came from. You've been doing this sort of thing for a long time, and then the internet came along, and blogging became popular, and you went into that world, and it was not a seamless transition. It looks as if it must have been because of how wildly successful MarksDailyApple.com is, but I heard an interview you did on the podcast Entrepreneur on Fire, and by an interesting coincidence, I'm having the host John Lee Dumas on my own program on Monday, and it was fascinating hearing your story of success and failure and success, and then wild success. But tell us about that period when you first started MarksDailyApple.com and the amount of traffic you were getting.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting that being an entrepreneur is as much about flexibility and adaptability as anything. And the willingness to, you know, as one door closes, if two doors open, being willing to go through one of those doors and give it the good old college try. In my case, I started my supplement company selling on television, and I was quite successful, very successful, in fact. And the model of TV selling changed over the years, just as even the internet is evolving now, and to the point that the model no longer worked for me. It was no longer cost effective to do that on television. So I thought I'd try my hand at this new blogging thing, thinking that within a year I'd have 100,000 unique visitors a day. And lo and behold, after writing aggressively and really in the trenches every day for 365 days, March Daily Apple, at the end of 1 year, I had 1,000 visitors a day. And I thought, whoa, that's way too much work. But I'll keep going. And at the end of 2 years, next thing you know, I had 2,000 visitors a day. And the good news was it doubled every year. So that there was a point after a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication and a lot of self-reflection and soul-searching, I got to the point where it became a legitimate platform that was now reaching more people than my television appearances ever reached. And again, it's almost like if I had it to do over again, it's somebody, well, if you butt your butt every day for, you know, 5 years, you'll eventually get to the point where you can make a business of this. And I thought, well, nah, that doesn't appeal to me. So a lot of times you just have to put your head down and intuitively know it's the right thing to do.
Right.
And then keep doing it.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how did you not sort of wallow in self-doubt for a while that I've poured so much into this and it's not having the results I want? Maybe there's still another platform I should be trying to look for, or maybe, you know, I mean, how did you endure that problem of self-doubt?
Yeah. Sometimes desperation is the mother of invention. And there weren't, you know, I'd done print advertising. That was slowly falling by the wayside as print became less and less effective for direct. What the business I'm in is direct response. And as I kept looking for other opportunities, none of them presented themselves. So I thought, well, you know, what I'm going to have to do here is I'm just going to have to double down and keep driving even harder. And the fact that I kept seeing growth was the encouraging thing. I didn't see a drop-off in viewership. I saw incremental growth. And that was sort of the thing that kept me going on a daily basis. And by the way, the main thing that kept me going was this, what we call psychic income, this idea that people would come to me and they'd go, oh my God, you changed my life. How can I ever repay you? How can I ever thank you? This is unbelievable. This is, how come the world doesn't know about this? You have to keep doing what you're doing. You have to keep telling the world about this. So there was a point when Mark's Daily Apple was a hobby that cost me $100,000 a year, and yet I was getting such great emotional support and feedback from my readers that it was inappropriate of me to quit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. And you were just driven to do it. And then what's wonderful is that a good man was rewarded, you know, that it did work out. Do you mind sharing with us some kind of idea of what your traffic statistics are these days?
Yeah, so we're at 2 million uniques a month now, and we're the largest trafficked site in the what we call the paleo, primal, ancestral, even the low-carb health world. And we've won a lot of awards for being the best content deliverer and again, the best in terms of objectivity, which I think is very important to me. That goes back to that prior question about the GMO. We just don't take a knee-jerk stance on something. We really do delve into the science. I now have a team of researchers, so I have that luxury of being able to access a lot of information when I come out with a new idea or theory. I'm also willing to change my idea based on shifts in the research. And in fact, gonna plug another thing. We just introduced the Primal Blueprint Expert Certification about a month and a half ago, and it has taken off. We have this online training course where people can go learn. There's 13 different modules. Learn literally how to not only live according to the Primal Blueprint, but teach it. Whether you're a registered dietitian or a healthcare professional or a fitness trainer or a life coach, we teach the technology that I talk about in an online environment where people can get certified to then put that on their business card on Primal Blueprint Certified. And that's the next level of leverage that I'm seeking to take this technology, this modality, this protocol, this way of living, whatever you want to call it, out into the masses and say, look, this is how we forget the ACA. It's never going to work. It's doomed to failure from the outset. The only thing you can do right now is take care of your own health and the health of your family. And I have a strategy that will allow you to do just that.
And incidentally, one last thing, you've yourself entered the podcast world, I understand.
Yeah, well, that was almost by default. I had all these podcasts going, dude, you know, how come you're not doing a podcast? You're ridiculous. And I thought, well, okay, that's one more thing I need to do. But we've started doing podcasts, the Primal Blueprint podcast. They've taken off. Apparently there's some people who like to listen more than read. Go figure, Tom.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's so my view is I'm going to cater to all these people.
Yes, exactly. And it really is, it's, you know, the world, it's a multimedia world right now. So we do videos and we do audio books and we do podcasts and we do, because some people like to read text. Other people like to download stuff into their iPod and listen while they're driving. And I want to reach as many people as possible because, you know, I have this secret that if everybody in the United States ate and exercised and slept according to these easy, easy guidelines that I've created, we would knock $1 trillion per year off the annual health bill. In the first 18 months, Tom, it is that simple. That's how profound and almost like bizarrely perverse this whole concept is, that we have at our fingertips the ability to regain access to health ourselves without the insurance companies, without Obamacare, without Medicare, Medicaid, Medi-Cal, without any of these other interventions. It can happen one person at a time just by the choices we make according to the foods that we eat, the types of exercise we choose to do, the amount of sleep we get, the amount of sun exposure, the amount of time we spend outside playing. It's really, okay, back to your main point, Tom, it's really simple.
Well, I want to urge everybody to check out marksdailyapple.com. I still have an old page on my site with our some of our previous conversations and links to your books and links to Mark's Daily Apple and links to my wife's blog and all kinds of stuff, tomwoods.com/primal. But whatever you do, make sure you're checking out marksdailyapple.com, and he'll give you a ton of free stuff, and you'll just absolutely love it. And it's worth trying out. You have the 21-day total body, what's the, transformation?
Transformation.
Yeah.
The total body transformation.
Yeah. Anybody can do anything for 21 days, right?
Exactly.
Try it for 21 days. And then if you hate it, then you can come back and yell at Mark and me.
Exactly.
But if it changed your life, then, you know, hey.
And tell other people.
And tell other people. That's right. That's right. All right, Mark, we'll have to have you more often. It's a thrill to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
All right, everybody, remember, my new book is out, my first book in nearly 4 years, Real Dissent, A Libertarian Sets Fire to the Index Card of Allowable Opinion. Get more details about it at realdissent.com. Lots of little resources there, plus links to the Kindle version, which all you supporting listeners already have. If you're supporting the show at supportinglisteners.com, that's one of the perks. You've already got the Kindle edition of Real Dissent. And, of course, you can get the free audiobook edition by means of the kind offer over at Audible. And you can get that at tomwoodsaudio.com. So check that out. Realdescent.com, tomwoodsaudio.com. Fill my heart with gladness by picking up your copy of my latest book. If you like this show, and if you like my smackdowns of the bad guys, then this is the book for you. All right, everybody, thanks for listening this week. We'll see you on Monday.
The Tom Woods Show.